Ezra chapter 8, verse 25. The 12 men, 12 in the scriptures is a picture of administrative responsibility. And here were these ones that are going to be entrusted with great amounts of money and also treasures. I'm going to ask Doug if he would mind letting down those other charts. The reason why I didn't let them down before is I didn't want to distract. But these are what this 25th verse, in a way, is talking about.
Let's read the verse first.
Verse 25. And weighed, notice every word of this, unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. Now, just those two areas, the silver and the gold. These were the treasures that had been stolen from the house of God in Jerusalem many, many years before. There's Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar, as I told you, he had sacked that place, burnt the temple, destroyed the city, carted away all those treasures. The silver, what would the silver be? Well, we remember that the silver is a picture of the redemption money in Israel. Every father had to bring a half a shekel of redemption money. With that money, all the articles of the tabernacle that were made of silver were made from that. It's somewhat like this area, the redemption side, the silver. Usually it comes first, sometimes it comes second. Gold, the treasures of gold were those articles that spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, articles in the tabernacle, excuse me, pure gold, speaking of Christ. These articles had been stolen for all those years and were put into those godless heathen temples. And even, you probably remember that, I think it was Belshazzar, they had a drunken party, and in the midst of it they said, let's get the vessels. Just think of it. God's holy vessels. That if a man in the earlier days, the Kohathites, if they touched one of the articles, they died. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, how much do you and I value the teachings that we have received? Now, you might say, well, I don't have any trouble with the silver and the gold. I know that I can't lose my salvation. That's very good. But I'm telling you that there are a good many Christians that I know of that are, as a matter of fact, a brother at the Lord's table. He gave up the fact of believing that he could not lose his salvation, and he started to speak to some of the others, and he had to be put away from the table. Now, this is serious. This is losing those treasures of silver. You might say, no, I'm solid on that. But what about the other treasures? What about the gold? That's the divine person of Christ. Learning more about him. Learning more of his blessed ways here on this earth. We learn, we see as an example the life of Jesus. That is the pattern for our life, the life of Jesus here on earth. But we know the Lord Jesus in the glory now, and that's the power. This is the pattern, this is the power. Are you and I drawing from that Blessed One, I often quote 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, "But we all with open face beholding the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image." You want to be more like Jesus in your life? Look at Him in glory. In the glory. That's the power, beloved ones, for your life. That's the goal. When the servant went from Abraham to get a wife for Isaac, when he finally found the girl, Rebecca, he brought out the treasures of gold first, and he gave her those treasures, and she went into her family and showed them the wonderful treasures. And then they talked then to the servant, and then finally the servant was in the house, and they were saying, well, the servant said, "Abraham has sent me now to get the bride and take her home." And the brother and the father said, "Well, let's ask the girl if she will go." And so they went and asked Rebecca, "Will you go?" And she said, "I'll go." That's the silver. That's redemption side. Yeah. And so it's beautiful to see both sides. Yeah. The divine side and then the redemptive side. So here were those, the values in great amounts. But every one of those 12 men put out his hand, as it were, because the hand is mentioned so many times, and it was weighed out to him. Not only weighed, but counted. Beloved ones, we're going to look at this chart now as to the treasures that you and I have been given. I appreciate what a brother said to me about last night, and that it was the negative side. Good. I want to bring the positive side tonight. Here are some of the privileges that you and I have. I don't want to take too much time, but I just trust that you'll saturate your soul with the Word of God. The first one, we have them. We have not all of them, but I'll come to them. One, I have the Word of God. If you went over to 7:25 of that chapter, you will find that the king said to Ezra, "You have the wisdom of God in your hand." 7:25. You have the wisdom of God in your hand. Do you and I realize that that Bible is the wisdom of God? We're wasting our time reading the newspapers and magazines and watching TV and so on. That's trash. This is the wisdom of God. Do you want the wisdom of God? Read the Word for yourself. I was thinking to you, dear young ones. Nice to have it right around the table, but very important for you and me to read it for ourselves. The wisdom of God. We have it in our language, the Word of God. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That verse speaks of excuse me. He received it not as the word of men, but as it is indeed the word of God, which worketh. Beautiful to read that verse. Works, that's the present tense. It works in them that believe. You believe the word of God? It works if you believe it. But if you just say, "Well, it's interesting," it doesn't work. So that's one. The second one, I have been chosen in Christ. I ask people, "When was your name written in the book of life?" And they say, "Oh, 8 years ago." No. You belong to the Lord. He chose you before He made this world, a past eternity. And that's what I believe that word means, from glory to glory. He chose you in a past eternity for a future eternity with Him and like Him forever. Oh, are we prizing this? Are we clutching it to our bosom and saying, "It's mine, it's mine"?
I was chosen. Are we going to be like the rest of the world in the way we live and dress? No, we're not going to be. If this permeates my soul. Next one. I have forgiveness of sins, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, 3. Our sins are forgiven. That's the settled position that every believer has in Christ. I'm talking now about the sovereignty side of things. What about this one? Ephesians 1, 3 says, I have all blessings. Am I going to get any more blessings in heaven? No. No, I've got them all. You've got them all, beloved young ones. You've got all the blessings you're ever going to have in eternity. Are we enjoying them? Oh, that's this side, the responsibility side. We have them, but are we possessing them? But this is just a reminder, beloved ones, that we have blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. You have them. You have them. Don't need to ask the Lord for them. The difference between a blessing and a mercy is this, that a mercy is something in life that we might have, our health or a happy family or a nice home and so on. Those are mercies. I can lose my mercies, but I can't lose my blessings. He never takes a blessing away from us, but he might allow mercies to pass away from us. The brother Dave here is experiencing a few of these things. Oh, it's wonderful to realize that the blessings are ours forever. To enjoy those. The mercies are just here in this life, and they come and they go. But the blessings are forever. And we've got them all now. Look at that. I have the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? Living in my body. Living in your body. How do I treat him? As an honored guest? Or living in a little room in the back of the house? I don't want to be funny, but this is what we're doing sometimes. The Holy Spirit, does he have the first part of our life? We don't pray to him, but we can count on his power. He indwells every one of us. And then this is a remarkable verse, I have been glorified. Now, I don't want to confuse you, dear young ones. This is what God says that he sees. This is Romans 8. Every blessing or there, it says there that whom he chose, them he also sanctified, and whom he sanctified, them he also glorified. That's what God has done to you and to me. These are the privileges, these are the treasures. Here we are. These are my privileges. And what does the next one say? I have been seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Ephesians 2:6. God sees you and me. See, doesn't say with Christ, because we're not there yet. But God sees you and me seated in Christ up there. Am I acting that way? Are you? I'll leave it with you. I don't want to be harping on this. But are we living these things? We have them. What's the next one? This is a chain, a different one. I have been gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:20. As I mentioned last night, every one of us has been made fit for the Lord's table through the finished work of Christ. The chair at the Lord's table for you, for me. Does he command us to? In the Old Testament, if they didn't keep the Passover, they're dead. God won't kill you if you don't take your place at the Lord's table. But I'm going to tell you that if you and I know that we should be there and we're not there, it's because I am choosing something in this world before Christ. As I said before, I can't make myself unfit for heaven, but I can make myself unfit for the Lord's table. And if I am, 28th verse further on, it says there, let a man, I think we covered it last night, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Let's not allow anything, beloved ones, one of these moments. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus. We're going to face him with that thought, I never, my brother saved all his, for many, many years, older brother than I, worked for me one time, and he was sitting in my office. He said, isn't it an awful thing to think that I have never once in my life remembered the Lord? Never. What a regret. The Lord took him like that, dropped dead in his chair. Yeah. Too late. Don't let anything stand in your way. The blessed Lord Jesus, he doesn't have much in this world for what he has done. And he just, he makes that request. Next one. I have been given all wisdom. Just leave it down for the Lord. Just want to distract you. Okay. I've been given all wisdom. Have you? Whereby are given unto us? No. Ephesians 1:8 says, he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and spiritual intelligence. He has abounded, poured it out, not just a little bit of a drink, poured out. Is it going over your head, what I'm saying? I hope not. I trust and I pray today that we'll all have a tender conscience as to these things. This is vital for your well-being. It affects me. It affects everyone here in San Diego, how you and I are going on. We affect each other. And it's all oneness. And so here it says, he has given us all wisdom. I need to ask the Lord for wisdom. I've been given all wisdom. Next one, I've been given all grace. Oh, what about this one? Are we forgiving each other? Do we have hard attitudes toward the brethren? Don't forget, in the 17th of Matthew, the king was there, and a man owed him equivalent of $500,000, and he said to the king, please have compassion on me. And the king forgave him the whole thing. And the man is going out the door, and he meets a man that owed him, you know how much? $1. And the man said the same words as the man had said to the king. Have compassion on me. He wouldn't. He took him by the neck and threw him in jail. Oh, beloved brethren, are we hard toward others? I speak to my own conscience too. All grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, whereby are given, no, it says, God is able to, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work, being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Have all grace. I'm a member of the body of Christ. What a privilege. Every believer in the world is a member of the body of Christ. But as I mentioned the other night, and you and I are gathered to the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, we are demonstrating that. You are demonstrating it here in San Diego. Maybe you say it's just a handful. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. Thousands may be Christians here in San Diego. Don't know the sweetness of sitting in quiet presence of Jesus on this earth. The closest moments of being in heaven. Lord's Day, when we sit around him and the table, the emblems there. We're a member of the body of Christ, but as I was mentioning before, the assembly demonstrates that oneness of the unity of the Spirit, not the unity of the body. The unity of the Spirit in Ephesians 4 and 3 says, endeavoring to keep or maintain the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Next one, I am part of the bride of Christ. What does that mean? Just means that Christ is the bridegroom. You're betrothed to him. Every one of us is betrothed to Christ, just like a girl. She's engaged to a boy to be married. And suppose a couple of months before she, excuse me for being blunt, but suppose a couple of months before she gets married, somebody invites her for a weekend with another boy. You say, oh no, they wouldn't do that. What about us? We are betrothed to Christ. But as Paul said to the Corinthians, oh, he was breathing and he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have presented you as a chaste. Chaste means polished, no soiling. As a chaste virgin to Christ. Are we keeping ourselves pure from this world? Is it worth it? Is it going to cost us something? Yes, it is. Bridegroom for Christ, the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Last one. I will be with and like Christ forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That's our destiny. Those are the treasures that these people, in type, were given to carry across the desert. And here is their journey. When they went from Babylon, they had this 700 about mile journey. Notice the word up to Jerusalem. You and I, beloved ones, have been given those treasures. What about the vessels? What about the vessels? What are the vessels? Well, think of that. In Isaiah it says, separate the, take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and what? Prepared unto every good work. What do I have to do? I have to separate from what I know is not pleasing the Lord. I'm going to be then a vessel for his glory. Do you want that? There's the scripture that shows us I must separate as they did there. They could have said, oh, such a heavy load to carry these things, and nobody will miss them if a couple of them are missing. We're going to see in a few minutes. Nobody lost any. But on they went. So let's go on a little bit more. Verse 28. And I said unto them, ye are holy, H-O-L-Y, unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold, a freewill offering unto the Lord of your fathers. I'll let that verse sink into our hearts. Now the next verse has three words. If you don't remember anything that I say tonight, get these three words. First one, watch. You got me to labor the point. You and I need to be watching these days? We sure do. With those treasures that God has committed to you and to me, can let them slip through my finger. Just even joking will spoil my communion with the Lord. Watch. Watch. Next word, keep. Not get. Keep. Now, Satan doesn't attack us in getting the truth, but he attacks us when we have it to take it away from us.
to rob us. And he's robbed a good many of us in the last 3.5 years. Breaks my heart to see what some of them have lost already in their discernment. Watch, keep which, that which thou hast been committed until a day. Keep. And the third word, watch first, keep second, third, until. Until. 3rd of November 1995, when's the Lord coming? That's up until that moment, until. Hold on, keep, watch, keep, until. Verse 31 and 32, read them together. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. I think I mentioned last night. There, we just pause there in the middle of that verse. Are you and I conscious that the hand of the Lord is on your head? You don't answer to me, but are you conscious of that? They were. They were. They kept those treasures. And if you are occupied with other things or not listening even in the meetings, you're going to be responsible someday for what was said in the meeting and you weren't listening. Maybe reading something. Oh, don't get into that habit. Because God wants you and me to be getting these things. So it says there, we departed to go up to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. How beautiful to go with the consciousness that the hand of our God is upon us. And we delivered, and he delivered, notice this now, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy. There are four hands in this story. One was the hand of the one who gave the treasures to the ones that took them. And those ones took them and watched carefully and kept them. And they delivered them, as we'll see in a minute, into the hands of the priests in Jerusalem. And then the hand of our God was upon them. So how beautiful it is. And from the hand of the enemy, now notice this, very important, I think. Two enemies. From the hand of the enemy, that was the enemy that could be seen. They were going on that long journey through a treacherous land. What would be those enemies that can be seen? Well, all the filth and the corruption of this world. Satan, the moral evils. You dear young ones, you have to keep yourself clean, because the enemy is there to drag you down. To drag you down. Those are the enemies that can be seen. Notice the next one. And of such as lay in wait by the way. There is the doctrinal evil. I would apply that in my thoughts. Hidden. Lying, in the New Testament it says, lying in wait to deceive. Are we getting that deception these days? Yes, they are. Are we being deceived? Some are. Good many, 500 people or so have left the Lord's table in the last 3 years. The enemy is deceptive. One enemy that can be seen, the other one lying in wait by the way. In other words, over and over and over again, we're never free. Are we on our guard? Are we watching and praying? So what about these things for in the New Testament? I have 10 minutes more. Hold the place here. We'll pause here. Let's go over to Ephesians 4 and see how the whole Bible knits together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one, there you are, there I am, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Put a good one way up above it and, mm-hmm. and lock them on.
Right.
Yeah. And then a couple locking it across.
the privileges that we spoke about. Here we are, those privileges. My privileges, your privileges, are the treasures. Do you treat those privileges as a treasure? Do I? Is that paramount in my life? Or is my job? Or success? Or even our marriages? Are the treasures, are the privileges synonymous with our treasures? I leave it with your conscience. I trust my conscience is as stricken tonight as I trust each one of us is. This is serious, beloved ones. My privileges are the treasures. And my treasures, all the treasures are one. Blessed Christ of God. Paul could say, for to me to live is Christ. I can't say it, but I'm very glad that a man that walked here on this earth could say it. For to me to live is Christ. Can we aspire to it? Yes. Can we be Paul's? No. No, I don't think so, because he was a delegate of God, special delegate. He received personally from Christ all the secrets that had been locked in God's heart from a past eternity. Christ spoke to Paul and gave him them in Ephesians 3. But what about us, Timothy? Am I looking into the face of some young Timothys here tonight? We can be Timothys. Timothy was saved as a young man. And at the end of his days in 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote, who did he write to? That faithful man. He said, I have no one else that will naturally care for who? For you. I think that's the treasures that you and I need. Not only to say I'm going to take care of myself, but have you got a love for the brethren? Paul said that about Timothy. He was one of those treasures, and he said, I have no man like-minded that will, with natural care, look after you. Are you seeking the welfare of your brethren? We have in our assembly a good number of young fellows that have been saved right out of drugs, and they are shepherds, as we haven't seen for many years in our assembly. They are always looking out to help somebody else. That's what a faithful vessel is. That's what Paul, in his closing book, when he laid down his pen, 2 Timothy was the last book he wrote, and he spoke to Timothy as a faithful vessel who cared for others. Well, a little bit more. Verse 12. These are the gifts, these are the treasures that were given by Christ, ascended Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is that our concern? And there's that word, till. We all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Notice that similarity to what we had in Ezra. And cunning craftiness whereby, see it? They lie in wait to deceive. One book, Old Testament, New Testament. Wisdom of God. You, dear ones, and each one of us, I want to be preaching to you. I want to take my place with you all. Are we getting it? Are we one of those chosen vessels? Yes. Are we one of those treasures? Yes. But where do we have it? Paul tells us. Let's turn to it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this, There's the word. Treasure. They have this treasure in earthen vessels, human body. You've got the treasure. I've got the treasure. Who is that treasure?
Christ.
We don't lay up treasures. That's Apostle John's writings. They're all laid up in Christ. He's up in the glory now. He's my treasure. He's our treasure. They're all laid up there now. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, that's sufficient. Let's go back to Ezra just a minute or two to finish off the story. I read the 31st verse, then we departed, 32nd verse, and we came. That's how fast life is going to appear when we get to eternity. Departed, came. Just like Rebecca's story, she packed up her goods and they got on the camels, and the next verse says, Isaac lifted up his eyes. That's how fast life goes by, and it's a day of grace. But it's the day of testing for us. So then we go on. In Ezra 8, verse 36. Beautiful culmination of the whole story. May it be true of each one of us. You're going to deliver what you have been taught. Am I? And they delivered the king's commissions. Beautiful, man. King's commissions. You got a king's commission. Carrying it through this world, you dear young boys, young fellows here. Oh, what a privilege it is to be a Christian in this corrupt world of sin and violence and death and deception. Murders getting worse every day. Oh, how wonderful. And they delivered the king's commission, commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people. It says they delivered them not to the outskirts of Jerusalem and run away. They took them right into the house of the Lord. That's where you and I are going to deposit the gifts, the treasures that we have been given. Now look at the last verse. And they furthered the people. You get that? When you see a brother or a sister make it in your soul or in the assembly, are you glad? It's a big decision, right? They furthered the people. Are you seeking the welfare of the Lord's people? Am I? These are for our conscience, aren't they, and for our heart. And then what does it say? What's the last word after they furthered the people? And the house of God. There's the assembly. Well, may the Lord take these words and apply them in our own heart and conscience for His glory and our blessing, not only in this life, but for eternity.